In the ancient Greek and Roman societies, before they had received the saving words of the gospel, people who were considered truly great and worthy of imitation practiced four virtues which defined greatness and made such persons worthy of imitation. Those virtues being prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude, otherwise known as courage. When these people received the gospel, these four cardinal or hinge virtues on which the truly great life depended became perfect with combined with three other what we call theological virtues, faith, hope, and love, which gave life to the other four, and thus those seven virtues of faith, hope, and love, prudence, justice, temperance, and fortitude became the stepping stones to holiness, since all these virtues are clearly and boldly evident in the life of Jesus himself. We all know that in baptism, God washes away sin and replaces it with his sanctifying grace. By that grace, he plants the seeds of faith, hope, and love, making us fertile ground. We possess these virtues already and will never lose these. They are God's gift to us to make us like himself and must be practiced each and every day, every hour, to grow stronger and stronger into perfection. When we consider the gift of faith, we think about the Apostles' Creed that we pray at the beginning of the Rosary or the Nicene Creed that we pray each Sunday at Mass, and those first words are, I believe. And then we go through the entire Creed, and all those words that follow define who we are as Christians, what we believe as Christians, what we base our lives and our beliefs upon. And of course, we believe that we must act on these truths every minute. If our faith is tested, as it will be, if it gets weakened, as sometimes it does, we simply have to cry out to Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. There's absolutely no substitute for prayer. There's no better way to grow in faith, to strengthen hope and trust in Christ, than to offer ourselves in prayer and ask the Lord to give us a desire for eternal life with him and stay close to him each and every day in prayer. Whether we've been away from God for a long time, committed serious sin, makes no difference. God wants us to be with him. He wants us to come back to him, to speak with him heart to heart. Let him speak to you as you read and meditate on his word in scripture. Receive him often and with love and devotion in the Blessed Sacrament. We all know that the Mass is the greatest prayer that we can ever offer. It's the sacrifice of Christ himself offered for us, and he allows us to offer ourselves with him and partake in his death and resurrection so that we can have new and eternal life. Our union with Christ in the Eucharist begins our eternal union with him in heaven. Faith, hope, and love are exactly what Mass is all about. But it doesn't stop there. Filled with faith, hope, and love, you and I must live in a world which can often be faithless, hopeless, and very unloving. You and I are meant to bring faith, the faith of Jesus, to a world that either does not know or does not care to know him. Jesus wants us to bring hope to a world that's lost its sense of the eternal and lives only for this world and its so-called pleasures. And of course, we must bring his love and reconciliation into a world that's divided by cliques or class, by politics, race, status, etc., divided by all kinds of artificial boundaries and filled with hate and vengeance. It takes prudence for us to know what to say or what to do and when to say or when to do it. In this, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit's guidance. We must always have a sense of God's justice, not man's, giving God the praise, worship, and honor that are his due, and of course, to one another, the care, assistance, love, and mercy that each person by their human dignity deserves. We can't be naive, though, when dealing with people, because we understand that people can be pretty much, well, bad at times. But we exercise prudence and justice. It might even demanding our rights, our right to life, our right to liberty and freedom, our right to faith, to worship as we feel called, our pursuit of happiness and be free from excessive government intrusion. We have to defend our own families, those God has entrusted to our care, spouses, family, safeguarding our property, with which we care for our families and our neighbors. As Christians, as the body of Christ, as temples of the Holy Spirit, Jesus wants every one of us to give a good example through our practice of temperance. That is, as difficult as it might be, eating and drinking in moderation, never to excess, clothing and housing ourselves modestly without vulgarity or ostentation, to have a balance in our use of created goods, and controlling our tempers, controlling our passions, controlling our desires. And as St. Paul teaches us, to speak only the good things that other people really truly need to hear, the things that will be to their spiritual and moral benefit. To live a life of prudence, to live a life of justice and temperance, to live a life of faith, hope, and love takes courage in this modern world. It takes courage to live lives that are upright and holy. It takes courage to live lives that are honest and true. But we know that God has given us a spirit of courage, a spirit of fortitude that ensures firmness in difficulties and constancy in doing what is right and what is good. Brothers and sisters, the scriptures today are very clear. Have no hatred for anyone. Correct and admonish others with kindness. Take no revenge. Harbor no grudges. Do not be proud or boastful, but instead always humble. Be wise, not in the ways of the world, but in the ways of God. Be merciful. Advocate justice, not revenge. Forgive and show mercy. Be as generous as possible. Be willing to go the extra mile. Hate no one, love everyone. In a word, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. In prudence, in justice, in temperance, in courage, in faith, in hope, and in love, by the grace of God, be holy as the Lord your God is holy.